All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, very excited to be having this interview. We've got a big new promotion getting out there and looking like they're very much ready to make some waves there. Pallas Athena Women's Fighting Championship is going to be going down, and that takes place January 15th in Calgary, Alberta. We got a great venue for that one, too, and very excited to be talking to the event slash fight manager, Charmaine Tweet. How's everything going with all the preparations for this show? I imagine you're quite busy.
Oh, yeah, it's going well. I tell you, though, every morning I'm on the computer, I'm checking the website, the Government of Canada website, to make sure that everything is still good to bring fighters in from overseas. It's definitely been a challenge as far as that goes. This is the first event I've been really involved in on the promotional end of things, and I can only imagine that it would have been that much easier pre-COVID.
Yeah, I guess that's a variable I didn't really take into it. So obviously you have a wealth of experience in the industry, but just like the present kind of context of navigating the ever-changing kind of COVID restrictions and just what countries are doing what travel restrictions, like, has that been, I mean, I imagine it's frustrating to a degree, but has it been a beneficial, like, growth-oriented kind of part of it too, just going through those growing pains for what looks to be an international event?
I think it will be beneficial in the long run, because if the COVID restrictions ever, you know, pare back or completely go away, things are just going to seem that much easier. You know, normally, and I can only speak from the fighter point of view, but normally all you'd have to worry about if you were going overseas was your visa. What kind of visa did you need to fight in a particular country, right? Now we're looking at, okay, what do they need for visas? What do they need to have in order to cross the border into Canada for COVID documentation? What new apps do they need to download to get that? Yeah, there's so many more things than you used to have to worry about.
Yeah, but it seems like you're adapting well and everything like that, which, you know, necessary for that kind of position, as you well know there. But it seems like you're wearing a few hats with the promotion too. I was seeing in the Instagram bio that you're also going to be doing some color commentating work for this event there, so that's really exciting to see as well.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm enjoying doing these interviews right now too, is to get me used to talking again, right? Not that I wasn't talking before, but, you know, for a little background, since I last fought, I actually became a correctional officer. So the type of discussions I would have are completely different. So it's nice to do these interviews and get used to the MMA world again, prior to me stepping into the cage to interview the girls. So rather than doing color commentary, because we've actually hired Felicia Spencer to come up and do the color commentary with our other two commentators, what I'm going to be doing is almost kind of like a Joe Rogan type role, where I will be interviewing the girls post-fight, pre-fight, that sort of thing.
Well, that's a killer broadcast team there. I mean, yourself and also Felicia Spencer, very big names in Invicta FC over the years and whatnot. So that's going to be a great broadcast team for this kind of show.
You know, I kind of giggle, because it's like, we have no featherweights in the cage as of yet, but the featherweights that are going to be around the cage, I mean, it's just amazing the names we have. We have Felicia, we have myself, and then of course we have the GOAT, we have Chris Cyborg doing a guest appearance there. So it's really, really interesting, the talent that's going to be there inside the cage and outside of the cage.
Yeah, it's a really star-studded event. I feel like each announcement that comes out from PAWFC just gets me more and more fired up. But you kind of mentioned that bit of a hiatus from the MMA world there, and just different, you know, professional obligations and stuff like that. Like, was there a level of I guess, needing to like renew the vigor in a sense? Like, was there like the distance yourself from it, like reignite the flame kind of dynamic, as it were, or just different professional obligations? You weren't, you know, posting about MMA as much, etc.
No, I had to step away from it and find something that was going to reinvigorate me. My last fight was actually a Thai boxing match in 2018, and I was looking down at the ring, and as I was watching all the other fights go on, because we were co-main event, so end of the night type of thing, and I was just looking down at the ring, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this is the last time I ever have to step in there. And I was just, I was tired. I was burned out. My body was breaking down. And I just, at that point, I did not want to do it anymore. And what I found was that if I watched it or I involved myself in the MMA world, I'd start to get that itch again, but not quite enough to want to do it. Right. So I don't know. It was a really weird time for me, because I think every fighter always thinks that they're, you know, they have one last one in them, and watching it would make me think, oh yeah, you know what? Like, I have one last one in me, and my body was telling me otherwise, but I didn't like that back and forth that was going on in my brain. So I just said, nope, I'm not watching it. I'm not talking about it. I'm not doing anything with MMA anymore. And then this summer, Alan and Clay had approached me, and they had actually approached me to fight. And I was still at the point where I was like, no, I don't really want to step in the cage. I don't want to do the work that it would take me to get down to fight weight. And no, I'm not really interested. And then they came at me with, how would you like to work for us then? And that sparked my interest.
Just being able to, you know, have like almost like a mentorship kind of role almost, because I love the dynamics with you being a competitive veteran of Invicta FC. And I mean, not that it's like derivative of the promotion per se, but almost like an Invicta FC of the North kind of vibe, just in as far as like creating that, like, you know, grassroots platform for the women to get like high level experience on like a very professional sort of show. So is there that kind of like martial arts legacy kind of thing, in the sense of like the student, but now like, you know, imparting knowledge, teaching now kind of sense? Do you look at it in that kind of regard?
Oh, 100%. I love the idea of being a mentor to the younger fighters. Like, there's so many things that I want to tell them to make sure that they do before they get too involved in the sport, things to do while they're involved in the sport, the things to avoid. Like, one of my hot button issues was always the weight cut. You know, I was 6 foot tall. I walked around at 165 pounds. And at that point in time, like, the way my fighter's brain worked, and I don't know how much it is with other girls in weight-based sports, but I walked around at 165 pounds, cut 20 pounds to make weight for a fight, and at 165 pounds, I thought I was fat. I thought that I carried so much excess weight on me that I did. I literally thought I was fat, like total body dysmorphia. And looking back now, I was like, oh my God, I was rail thin. And the idea of cutting down to 145 now just blows my mind. Like, I would not want to do it. And the sport is at such a point now where there's so many other women involved in it that I feel like you can have those heavier weight classes. You can showcase those, right? So, I mean, we look at the PFL, they have 155 for the women. And I look at the girls who are fighting in there, and I mean, some of them were fighting at 145, 135, and they've moved up to a more natural weight class. And that's what I'd like to see. I know we had one fight that we were having problems matching up. And I had said to the manager, I was like, you know what, they're both walking around at like 128, why don't we just do a flyweight match for them instead of a strawweight, and not have them cut weight over Christmas? So that's kind of one of the big things I want to push, is there's so many more competitors out there now that you guys don't need to cut down to that lower weight class, especially if you're both doing it, right? Like, at that point, I find that it doesn't become who has better skill in the cage. It's who can cut weight more efficiently. And then you come back in at the exact same weights you guys were, you know, 2 days prior to the fight. It makes no sense to me. So that's something that I definitely, in this role, would like to, and I don't want to say push, but it's something, it's kind of one of my personal mandates for the sport.
Yeah, it just really shows the different permutations of the sport, too. Like, when you were cutting your teeth earlier on in, like, Regina and Calgary with Saturday night fights and Hard Knocks and stuff like that, and you talk about just those different lessons you've learned and just a lot of, like, you know, debutant opponents on the card, a couple fights into their career, that sort of thing. So it's awesome that these lessons are able to be imparted at this sort of point and from someone who has been cutting their teeth in that space in such a localized way as well.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to, you know, teach the young grasshoppers.
Has there been any of the fighters reaching out to you about different things, even in the past, outside of this recent event sort of context there and everything like that? Like, because I imagine with somebody like your profile, like I said, someone who had your debut pro MMA fight against Ronda Rousey, for instance, I imagine some of them have been looking out for different advice and trying to pick the brain, as it were.
Not so much recently, but kind of midpoint in my career, I did have a few people reach out to me. I think there was one girl, I cannot remember her name. I'm pretty sure she was from Australia, though, and they had a reality-based TV show that she was on, and she had contacted me, and I gave her a little bit of advice, and yeah, that's the one that really sticks out of my mind, but I cannot remember her name for the life of me, and I feel awful about that. It's been hit in the head a few times, you know. My memory's not what it used to be.
Oh, you've been in there with some heavy hitters. I mean, you mentioned Chris Cyborg earlier on. I mean, that was a former opponent, too, and that's kind of a cool part of martial arts culture in general, I find. Like, I imagine there's still that level of mutual respect and just that camaraderie that comes from sharing that space and competing on that given night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm super excited to get to this event and see Chris again. Like, this will be the first time I've seen her, actually, since we fought in L.A. My coach is actually friends with Rose and Javi, and he had gone out with them that night after the fight, and they kept calling me to say, hey, Shereen, come out to the bar with us. And I was like, guys, I can't. My nose is still bleeding. Like, I can't leave the hotel room. I'm gushing blood everywhere still. So, I haven't seen her since we, you know, gave each other a hug in the dressing room after the fight. So it'll be nice to catch up.
Well, that's a really cool kind of component there. I didn't know that it had been that period of time since you two had seen each other, but that's really cool. And just speaking to this card, I mean, I mentioned earlier some of the, you know, debutant kind of opponents or people just earlier on in their careers, but a pair of title fights topping the marquee too, I think, is a good look. And I kind of wanted to talk about that Sarah Kaufman fight taking on Claudia Lighty and everything like that for the bantamweight championship. Like, how did that fight come together, and just also, what are your thoughts on that specific matchup topping the first show?
You know, that fight was actually contracted before I started working with Palace. I started working with them mid-August, so that fight was already in the works. Our matchmaker Kieran Kettle had that one set up. I know he has a lot of contacts in the fight world, so I think he just, you know, was talking with Marcelo down in Brazil and found that opponent for Sarah, and I'm excited for that fight. I think it'll be interesting. You know, I've watched a little bit of tape on Claudia as I was getting ready to take on this role, and you know, she's no slouch. That girl can take a punch. She has a strong ground game. I never really noticed too much about her submissions, but, you know, she can hold her own on the ground. She's got good top control. So I don't know that it's necessarily going to be a walk in the park for Sarah. Now, having said that, Sarah comes with a ton of experience, and a lot of times experience can outweigh, you know, the skills that a newcomer is bringing in. But it should be an interesting fight.
Yeah, a real crossroads fight in a lot of regards, just with Sarah Kaufman being such a well-established veteran. I mean, the titles she's collected and just like the recent nature of her fight, which I was actually at the BTC 13 fight she last had, beating Jessie Mealy in very emphatic fashion, someone who was with Bellator just a little bit ago there. And yeah, I mean, just, you know, bantamweight champion from Cyborg's promotion coming in here looking to get that big name value sort of victory there. So yeah, great fight to, you know, be topping the first show there. But also there's being that strawweight championship fight and the co-feature there. I mean, similar kind of dynamics. And as far as like Andy Nguyen, just with more of like that like veteran kind of like established profile, has been in multiple title fights. And then Laura Fontoura, just an undefeated fighter looking to have that, you know, capstone sort of achievement, at least at this point in her career. So can you kind of speak to that co-feature fight as well? Because that looks to be another well-matched contest as well.
Yeah, you know what, that one ended up coming about because we had lost the original opponent for Laura, and the opponent we were working on for Andy, that one fell through. So, you know, it didn't take very long for us to look at the matchup and go, nope, that's the one we have to do. And I think it's very fitting for Andy to take on that championship bout also, considering all the experience she does have, as you had mentioned. So yeah I don't know, I don't want to make any predictions as to what's going to happen there. You know, it's that veteran against the young fighter again, and a lot of people would look at it and go, well, you know, that young fighter's got the speed, the stamina, like they're, what is she, 21, I think, like not super old. So, you know, when you look at the fight game typically, you tend to think that those younger fighters, even though they don't have as much experience, they have the stamina to go. But I mean, when you look back, I also took on somebody, it was a very similar age spread, right? And someone who was knocking people out left, right, and center. I don't think she had a loss on her record. And, you know, I like to call it, and no offense to Andy, I'm not saying anything about Andy being old, but I'd like to refer to it as that old lady strength. Old lady strength, old lady experience, right? Like, that's hard to discount when you look at the fight game. Not calling you old, Andy.
Yeah, no, just that fight IQ and the experience, just like I said, even in the context of championship fights, having been there a few times, understanding the pacing of a situation like that there. And just on a broader level, I kind of wanted to talk about just, I guess, what goals might exist within the promotion and everything like that. But I also understand just the rapid uncertainty of COVID and everything like that. It can be kind of hard to make long-term plans in a lot of regards. Like, are there broader scale plans for PAW FC throughout 2022 that you guys are looking to achieve there, or is the rampant uncertainty kind of making that a little difficult, I suppose?
No, there are definitely future plans. We have been looking at a city and a venue for our next event. What we would like to do is have, you know, one event per season sort of thing. So we're just going to keep pushing forward. Like, COVID isn't going to affect anything right now. We're, you know, nose to the grindstone. We're going to just do what we've been doing and cross our fingers that, you know, we don't get stopped up with new restrictions. But yeah, the plan is to definitely have a few more events throughout 2022 and then into 2023.
Well, I feel like you're in a good place to facilitate having the shows, because in Calgary and then also Edmonton, it seems like some of those localized commissions have done well in putting on some of the last few shows there. So that probably gives a level of confidence, just that there's that instantiated sort of surrounding framework where seems like people are helping and there's that fluidity to it.
Definitely.
Yeah, and just...
You know, and yes, we are definitely planning on working with more of the Alberta commissions. I still live in Regina here, so I'm still in Saskatchewan, so we would like to see some events in Saskatchewan as well. And, you know, I can't remember what year the commission came in. Was it the year that I fought Anna Barone in Weyburn? I think that might have actually been the first... Or was it after that? Doesn't matter. Anyways, we have a relatively new commission, but we do actually have a legal commission here in Saskatchewan again. And we're looking forward to working with them as well. The promotion itself has been billed as, you know, a Western Canadian promotion. So, you know, Alberta, Saskatchewan, eventually British Columbia, and perhaps Manitoba also.
I think especially, I mean, the Manitoba area has had a bit of action, I suppose, but I mean, the Regina area, it would be cool to see some of that, because I've actually been working on a Canadian MMA history project for a little while, and I mean, there is certainly some Saskatchewan history there, like I kind of mentioned Saturday night fights earlier and different stuff like that, but that would be really cool to kind of exist in that space, because there's definitely, I guess, a lot of legacy to carve out in that given space, and to have like that promotion really waving the flag in a big way for, you know, just the whole history of the scene in general and stuff like that. Like, do you think of it in that kind of historical context? I mean, you've been in that scene for quite a while and know those dynamics too.
You know, I haven't really thought about the historical context of Saskatchewan, really, ever, actually. And, you know, people talk to me about being a pioneer, and I just kind of laugh them off. I'm like, I'm not a pioneer. Like, there's so many women before me that pioneered this sport. But, like I said, never really thought of it as pioneering in Saskatchewan specifically, definitely pioneering in Canada as, you know, the first, as far as I know, only women's promotion in the country. And I think that's huge.
Yeah, and there's such a wealth of talent around here. Like, just seeing some of the names pop up, like when I saw Melissa Croden's name pop up, it's like, yeah, that's a great look. Like, just seems like there's a very nuanced understanding of like the prospective talent in the area and everything like that. So you can tell it's, I guess, like a well thought out sort of thing, and there's like people who are like well entrenched in the scene handling it, which is good to see.
I agree.
But yeah, it's been great getting to talk to you ahead of such a big card here. I'm even kind of thinking about coming from Ontario to go see it a little bit, and hopefully the travel restrictions will abide by that a little bit. But yeah, you've been great with your time and fun getting some insights ahead of this card here, but just in being mindful of your busy schedule, is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping up, Charmaine?
Go on to the website, the Facebook sites, our Instagram site, and find the link for the tickets, get some tickets, rent the pay-per-view. I know that Canada is such a huge country, like it's hard for fans from all over, because we do have girls coming from all over the country, like Quebec, Ontario, that sort of thing. Make sure that you find the links, buy the pay-per-views, support your fighters. If you do know some of the girls on the cards, check out their Instagrams. They have links to the pay-per-view. They have links to the tickets. There is an incentive program for them to have their fans, their family, their friends watch the pay-per-view. So get out there, support your local fighters, support your favorite fighters. Help support Pallas Athena so that we can continue supporting the girls and furthering their careers.
Yeah, great note to end things off on, and a stellar venue for sure. Grey Eagle Resort and Casino out in Calgary there. But for people who can't be there live and in person, they can go to hnlive.ca and get the pay-per-view. And yeah, to reiterate, very excited about this card here. Pallas Athena, WFC looking very promising, especially leading into the inaugural kickoff card. And yeah, it was great getting some insights from you, Charmaine. Thanks so much for coming on the show, and looking forward to the fight card coming up here.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on the show and you know, letting me talk about something that I'm very passionate about and, you know, promoting the new organization. And we hope to see you out there on the 15th.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't get a little too crazy out there. I'm definitely thinking of coming out there, though. I covered a Zab Judah fight there at that venue, and this one looks very exciting, too. So, yeah, hopefully I'll be able to get out there. But if not, you enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll cop the pay-per-view, you know?
Great. Thank you.